The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in, Blaine and Mickey, hour number 3 today. Appreciate you hanging out with us. If you're just getting off work, maybe you, maybe you've just been working. You haven't been paying attention to what's going on today. Tennessee has already hired a new director of athletics. That Monday, we were told that Philip Fulmer would step down, and we all started to speculate on how long this might take to find the next person to lead the Vols athletic program. Blaine, they found somebody. Danny White just got a press release from the University of Tennessee. It says Danny White was recently ranked the 4th best athletic director in the country by Stadium. Will become the new athletic director at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Chancellor Don D. Plowman announced today his consistent record of transforming college athletic programs to win championships, drive growth, and achieve success have made him a rising star in college athletics. So it's officially official now with the University of Tennessee. We were talking about his contract that he had signed with the University of Central Florida and the buyout that it included. Dan Wolkin, who broke the news, joined us to discuss. It was $2.5 million in his article. Jimmy Himes just tweeted this. Tennessee's hiring of new athletic director Danny White comes with a big buyout, $2.5 million. And we knew he made over $1 million. We were just kind of joking, guessing maybe it's $1.1. It was $1.1. He made $1.1 million at Central Florida. UT will surely pay him more, is what Himes said and what we said. They also have to pay outgoing Philip Fulmer half of his $900,000 annual salary through December 31, 2023. So I'm going to pay two guys to be the athletic director, even though only one's doing the job until 2023. But they moved quickly. They moved decisively, Blaine. They hired a guy from Central Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Who comes highly acclaimed in his history of hiring successful coaches, has done really well, not just in the football realm, as too, either it's baseball, basketball. So the list goes on and on. So I'm interested to see. I think he said that he'll be here on Friday, and then he'll speak to the team, football team, on Saturday. That's how far he's gone already thus far. This is guys I'm going to give it layman's terms, a go-getter, proven guy who worked his way up, and throughout the time working his way up the ladder, he has a heck of a laundry list of things that he's done very well in hiring coaches and building programs and then helping them stabilize to being really good and raising money. So I think they wanted their guy, and their pocketbook, as we all say, tells them that was their guy. With the $2.5 million buyout, and you're paying a former AD and Fulmer, we're going after him. This is a guy, high integrity, and does a really good job on every realm of an athletic director. Let's go get him. We're not messing around. Man, woo. Man, I wonder who's donating all that money.
Oh, I was going to ask if it was you or David Reed.
I'd be on a bicycle after donating all that money, because that doesn't even sound like the Butch Jones, John Curry. I mean, we could go down the list of the buyouts that they were still paying over the years, man. I wonder if that person's still donating money now. Like, hey, man, I'm done with y'all, man. I need to take a breather. So that shows you how much they want, all jokes aside, that Ms. Plowman and Boyd are really wanting to turn this thing around and get it on the right track and do it the right way. So hats off to them, and let's see where it goes. You know, 3 days, as all we know, I'm sure they were doing more than 3 days before they hired an AD, but we don't know that. We can all guess it could have been a couple of weeks for all we know. What a swift move and a precise move in that they wanted to go after their guy based off of how much money they spent.
It's interesting because anytime we talk about athletic directors and a coach gets let go, we always say, hey, it's that person's job to have the list. And they just pull the list out of their pocket. Well, this is my next person. You know, chancellors almost have to be the same way. because not only are they the chancellor for the whole school and they got a chemistry department and everything else to run, but they got an athletics department that they're the chancellor of too. So when it came to athletic directors, they said this at the press conference on Monday, which was when people are kind of pointing out things that were said that they had a laugh about. You know, well, Coach Fulmer didn't want to be the AD forever. You know, he agreed to do it short term. Wait, as you pointed out immediately, well, didn't he just sign an extension, which, you know, is until 2023, he's going to make $37,500 a month from Tennessee through December 31st of 2023. By the way, it's still January of 2021. So I think he wanted to be there until 2023, and they wanted him there. But once you start to see how this thing's going, and once you start to feel like there's an inevitability to some people's career at UT, I would imagine at that point they went ahead and reached out to somebody with that search firm and said, these are the names we got in mind. Start vetting these candidates. You know, find out who's real, find out who's not real. And it's funny, Blaine, because if you look at a bunch of people's lists, were all these guys who had ties to the University of Tennessee. And what's amazing is Tennessee has put some amazing people into administration all around college athletics, because all these names people were throwing out were really good names. And we're like, gosh, that's a good guy. And a lot of us like the, you know, Mark Ingram at UAB, just for what this guy's built. He built, they basically took everything away and he was left just sitting in an empty room. And they said, okay, rebuild football now from this empty room. And oh, by the way, you need a stadium too. And he's done all that stuff. So I kind of convinced myself, look, if he's that guy shows, has shown that he's a builder. And you pointed this out early on too, and we both had a discussion about it one day. Look, there's a bunch of qualified people certainly who have ties to UT, but go turn over every rock and just interview the best candidates for the job. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was their philosophy too, because that we may one day Mark Ingram may say, yeah, I talked to him, but it wasn't a fit. Or I talked to him and I wanted to stay where I was. Or he may say they never even called me. But Danny White, proven record of hiring, and as you said, with fundraising, and we all know his first job is to hire a football coach. His second job is going to be to have to raise money and fundraise out of, and I looked it up, what was the number? It was reported to be a $40 million loss in revenue because of COVID. So you join an athletic department that lost $40 million and needs a football coach. Welcome to Knoxville.
Ooh, what? Hey, he's not going to be, lagging behind. He's got to get to work and pull the sleeves up. And I mean, immediately as soon as he steps foot on campus on Friday. He's got to go to work. So it's a lot of things to be done. But hey, in a positive note, they've got their AD in Tennessee, and then the sky's the limit at this point. It couldn't get any worse. You can get the sanctions that can still come out, and how bad that'll be, and we don't know. But we're moving forward in that you got the AD, now you're going to look for your head coach. And then where does that put everybody else that's on staff? I'm sure they'll let the head coach decide if he wants some of those guys on staff. And I'm just looking at history of past coaches. Most of the time, they don't want anybody on the staff unless, it's late in the game for them to even hire, defensive staff if it's an offensive minded coach, so whatever side of the ball the coach is, he probably has contacts all over the place. It's usually the other side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see how this parlays, and it could be another, movement on coaches in another year after he has a fair shot of getting some of those guys that he want on the opposite side of the ball. So, yeah, it'd still be more, but you're going in the right direction at this point. You got it, man. I'm shocked that they got it done that fast and that swift, and then to make the move of the buyout of $2.5 million to get him means this was – he by far was the number one candidate.
To move this quickly,
that has to be that kind of move. I mean, how many ADs, and you know better this world better than I do, make over $1.2 million? Athletic directors. Let's do a poll of Power Fives. Do a poll. Where are they at? All of them.
Well, let's just say this: nobody in the group of five. So rule out all of them. So that's half for college football. So that's, 65 teams. So that leaves you about 65.
So all the SEC ADs are over a million?
I think we just were reading Fulmer was 900,000, so he wasn't at a million.
Yeah.
So I, and here's a dude, and we say
hey, maybe over a million.
And we say, you know, nobody in the group of five. That dude was in the group of five, and he made 1.1, so he was one of them. But I would imagine nobody else. Man, you'd really have to look high and low to find somebody who was making a million in a group of five level, and maybe not a whole lot of guys in Power Five. That's a lot of money, and that goes back to Blaine, where we always talk about the coach is making, you know, $4.5 million, and he's going to go take orders from the guy who's making 650, you know, 650 grand.
He has the power.
Yes, where the money is where the power is. This is fascinating stuff, for sure. John Talty, who works for AL.com, which is all the Alabama newspapers, we had him set, and he's going to join us next to talk about Kevin Steele. And a lot of the thought was maybe Kevin Steele is just going to be the interim coach. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen. You move this fast on an AD, tells me you're ready to move this fast on a coach. But how did Kevin Steele get here? There's a lot to that. Talty wrote about it. We'll get to him next on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Let's keep the college athletics, college football, and more talk going right now. We're joined by John Talty from AL.com. John, how in the world are you doing, man? It's nothing going on in Tennessee. Appreciate you joining us in this quiet time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's you know, you feel like it's going to be quiet, and then something big happens. And so, you know, here we are again with some big news today of Tennessee hiring a new AD.
Well, and let's talk real quickly about Danny White. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. A lot of people thought they might stay within the family. They go outside the family. So let's start with that since it's breaking news. Your thoughts on Danny White joining the University of Tennessee as director of athletics?
Yeah, I think this is a big hire for Tennessee. I think it's already been, you know, I think well received by people in the college athletics world. You know, he was already making you know, one of the highest paid salaries in college athletics as an AD. And so, you know, Tennessee, I think, made a pretty big commitment to him. And I've been told, you know, I think it'll come out tomorrow, you know, a long-term contract for Danny White at Tennessee. And I think that was part of the reason why he was willing to leave what was a very good situation at Central Florida to come to Tennessee. So I think there was a lot of early names kind of mentioned, including some that had ties, you know, to Tennessee, but, you know, they're going outside the family. And I think, honestly, it could be a good thing for Tennessee because, you know, they've done things kind of one way for a while, and obviously it hasn't worked because they're in the position they are in right now. And Danny White's someone who's had success both at Buffalo, you know, making a bunch of key hires there, and then at Central Florida with the success they've had, you know, specifically in football.
We all wondered what might be the fate of Kevin Steele, and because of how fast this AD search turned around, probably tells us they're going to hire a coach outside of the program. But you had written an article, and I read every word of it. I actually went back and read most of it again. You wrote an article, is Kevin Steele a bystander or an opportunist? Because he'd essentially been the coach of two SEC teams over the span of 19 days at one point. So I'll ask you, what is it, or is it maybe a mix of both?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a little bit of a mix of both, but I lean more into the opportunist side of things. You know, I think certainly there was a lot of smoke, and not to, you know, go too down a digression here, but, you know, with Auburn, there was a very heavy push among influential boosters to hire him for that job. At a minimum, he was aware of some of those boosters trying to push out Gus Malzahn and insert him into that head coach position. They ended up getting Gus fired, but weren't successful in being able to make Kevin Steele the next head coach. So he's looking for a new job, and he takes a job at Tennessee, in which initially he's hired in a very vague way, you know, as a defensive assistant, despite the fact that they already had a defensive coordinator. He's given a two-year contract, despite, you know, reports out there that there was a hiring freeze and they couldn't bring anybody on. And, you know, Tennessee tried to spin it on Monday as if, you know, he didn't know what exactly was, you know, going to happen, didn't know he was going to be the acting head coach. But I was told not long after Pruitt was fired, you know, Kevin Steele gave a prepared speech, you know, to different coaches and to different coaches on staff. And, you know, from what I heard, like, it wasn't something he just came up with off the cuff. Like, he knew he was going to be the acting head coach. when you add up all those different things, you know, there's at least a belief that, you know, he's kind of involved in some of these different things. Whether he's the mastermind, I don't quite believe that, but certainly, you know, had some a role in these different things. And, you know, I think before Danny White got hired, there were a lot of people within the college football world that did think he was probably going to be a bridge hire for a year or so and probably get a chance to coach in the team in 2021. I do think White's hire changes that a bit.
How close do you think did Kevin Steele get to becoming the head coach at Auburn?
I mean, there was a time where people absolutely believed it was happening, you know, and he had the support of some very influential people who give a lot of money to the university. And so, you know, they wanted to fire Gus and quickly promote Kevin Steele to that position. I mean, there was a hope because that happened just a couple of days before the early signing period on that Wednesday. And so the hope was that he was going to be in place, you know, within 48 hours of firing Gus, and that they could then, you know, use that as kind of a way to keep together the recruiting class and maybe even add a couple kids. Obviously, that didn't happen. And I think a key part of that was that Auburn's AD, Alan Green, was very committed to wanting to do a national search. He was able to convince the Auburn president to go that path rather than just listening to some of these different boosters. And so they put together a search committee. They hired a search firm, which actually happened to be the same one that Tennessee just used for its AD search. And once that happened, it slowed down the process and allowed, you know, Auburn to look at other candidates beyond Kevin Steele. And I think, you know, the longer it went on, the less and less it looked like Steele was going to be the guy. And, you know, ultimately they hired Brian Harsin from Boise State. But I think especially within that first, you know, 48-hour period of firing Gus, there was a lot of belief that Kevin was going to be the guy. And ultimately, you know, those powerful boosters lost out.
On with John Talty from AL.com, talking college football and college athletics with Blaine and Mickey.
Well, John, thanks for coming on. I guess when the Auburn search started, did you think they would end up at Brian Harsin? I mean, how far were you from that?
No, I don't think anybody really thought that. Certainly was not a name that you heard mentioned early on in that search. There was a lot of other ones. You know, so you had some of your kind of obvious names that got thrown out there, you know, Hugh Freeze being one of them. But I don't think Harsin was a guy that, you know, there weren't a lot of natural connections to Auburn. You know, he's a guy who has spent almost all of his career at Boise State. The only kind of weird little connection really is just that he was the guy who replaced Gus Malzahn at Arkansas State when Gus left for Auburn. So you have this weird connection of him now replacing Gus at two different jobs. But, you know, I don't think anybody really pinpointed him as one of the main guys. But I do think, you know, he evidently had a relationship with Auburn's AD, Alan Green. And so I think he was a name on, you know, Alan's list, but not a name that I think was got any early buzz and not one of the early names that people thought Auburn was going to target.
Man, well, we've seen the power that be of Alabama, man, even during the COVID. But one thing that stays consistent is Saban. With all the turnover on his coaching staff year in and year out, man, it's not really to ask, I guess, how great he is, but more ask how far is he removing himself as the GOAT and even passing Bear Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point that he is the greatest, you know, for, you know, like some of the reasons you just hit on there. You know, the game has obviously changed a lot since, you know, when Bear was winning, and that's not to in any way take away what Coach Bryant did, but, you know, Nick being able to, A, do it, win championships at two different schools, but also just, you know, the way he's evolved his program multiple times now. You know, you look at how he won national championships early on in his tenure at Alabama, the type of offense that played, as the defense they played, and you look at kind of what they just did against Ohio State, and it's just completely different. And he's been, I think, very good at, A, never letting success stop him. He's never been content getting to the mountaintop. He wants to stay there. And you've seen other programs, you know, they almost have kind of that, you know, that championship hangover where the next year they're just not able to kind of get up the way they were the past year. You really haven't seen that happen at Alabama. And I think every time he loses an assistant, he uses it as an opportunity to evaluate what is and isn't working and try to bring in people that can maybe add something that they haven't had before. I mean, you look at just this past year, they lose Steve Sarkisian, who was, you know, the best assistant coach in America, lose Kyle Flood, who was someone who was very highly regarded, you know, led what was the nation's best offensive line, and he replaces them with two guys who were NFL head coaches this past season in Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone. And so he's been very good at finding quality replacements to continue his, you know, program going forward. And so yeah, I think he's, you know, part of what's been an unbelievable run. And even though he is 69 years old now, I mean, really just doesn't show many signs of slowing down. I mean, he's still recruiting at an incredibly high level. In fact, just signed what people believe to be his best recruiting class ever at Alabama.
One thing that he has never done there, John, is hire someone who potentially improve have show cause. But once that over, do you think Saban then will let him be in coaching rehab under the Saban tree?
I could certainly see that, you know, and I put something out a couple of days ago that, you know, Pruitt has even told people over the last couple of years that, you know, if he were ever to get fired at Tennessee, he would just go back to Alabama to work under Saban again. I do think there's a high level of respect between those two guys. And, you know, there's some people within Alabama that think Pruitt is the best defensive coordinator Saban has had during his time in Tuscaloosa. But like you hit on there, a key factor is going to be, does he have a show cause? And, you know, now clearly setting up to be a legal battle between Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt. What all comes out from that and how much of it sticks to Jeremy Pruitt? You know, there's a lot of these different allegations that can directly tie back to Jeremy Pruitt, even if he hasn't gotten a show cause penalty. I still think it'd be very difficult for any SEC school, including Alabama, to hire him during that time frame. So I think he's someone who, on paper alone, would be a very attractive candidate for Alabama to one day hire. Could be, you know, when defensive coordinator Pete Golding goes somewhere else. But if there's a lot of things swirling around Pruitt, and of course, if he ends up getting a show cause penalty, that's going to severely diminish his opportunities, including at Alabama.
We're on with John Talty, AL.com. I got to ask you one more question. It's more a fun question, John, but and that is this the best Alabama team of all time? You've covered them. Who would you match them up against, and who would win?
You know, I think after the game, I certainly felt that it was the best ever. You know, I think it's, as you guys probably know, it's so hard, I think, to compare different eras just because of how much the game has changed. You know, it's hard for me to compare a 2020 Alabama team to some of the early title teams of Bryant. I mean, the game is just completely different. The way they recruit is completely different. There's all these different factors that make it tough. But I think if you look at within Nick Saban's time at Alabama, I think it's certainly one of, if not the best title team that he's had. I think you can look at the other you know, undefeated team he had as one of the other possibilities. I even think, you know, even though they ended up losing to Clemson in 2016 down in Tampa, I thought that was one of his best teams. And I think, you know, was probably his best defense in many ways that he had at Alabama, just given all the guys who went on to go to the NFL. But I think, you know, fully admitting there's some recency bias here, I do think this is the best championship team that Saban has had at Alabama.
Well, we're John Talty of AL.com.
John, so we all have been throwing darts against the board trying to figure out who UT's next AD and head coach might be. Obviously, the AD thing got answered extremely quickly. So now we look at the coach. And I was actually at Arkansas State. I worked with Gus Malzahn, and I worked with Brian Harsin in one of my other lives. So I know both of those guys pretty well. Somebody asked me about Gus at UT, and I said, I don't know if you could find, you know, a more stable human being. He's just all about coaching football. And then we all start to look, well, Kevin Steele's already on the staff. Could you see Gus and Kevin Steele working together again in any capacity?
It's hard for me to believe that would be the case. And I'll tell you guys, you know, I had heard, you know, I want to say even a couple weeks back, maybe even, you know, a month back, that, you know, keep an eye on Gus in Tennessee as a possibility. And that was, you know, before, certainly way before Pruitt got fired. I think there's two things to think about with this is, A, you know, is Gus ready to take on another job? You know, I think if this job was open a year from now, it would make more sense for him. I think right now the timing's tough. I mean, he just got fired. He is collecting a massive buyout. I think he's probably, you know, like any former coach, I think he might get a little antsy, but does he want to jump into such another high profile job, which, again, a lot of your success is dependent on, can you beat Alabama? He's already been through that once. Does he want to do it from that job, given the NCAA violations that Tennessee has admitted have occurred? I don't know if that's quite the best fit for him in this moment. But to answer your other question, you know, this was a strained relationship by the end. Very much a situation in which Gus was the head coach of offense, Kevin Steele was the head coach of defense. Wasn't a ton of, I think, communication and trust between those two guys. And so, and I think that, you know, people believe that Rodney Gardner is going to potentially join that Tennessee staff too. And if that's the case, you know, that's another guy kind of in the Steele camp and not the Gus camp. It's hard for me to believe he would want to take that job unless he was given assurances you can hire whoever you want and it doesn't have to include Kevin Steele.
So you cover the SEC. Obviously, you're covering it through the lens of AL.com, so you're not in Knoxville every day or Nashville, but you are covering the league every day. What is Tennessee selling right now to potential head coaching candidates? Like, what's the allure at Tennessee right now?
Well, I mean, I think that's going to be certainly the biggest task that, Danny White is going to have to, you know, do going forward. And I think any coach who's potentially interested in this job, given the press conference that everybody's aware of on Monday, is going to want to know, what am I walking into? What potential violations am I walking into? Am I going to have to deal with a bowl ban right off the bat? So Danny White's going to have to assure people that this is an okay situation to walk into. And I would not be surprised, kind of like, again, I was told Danny White's getting a long-term deal. If they decide to have a true national search this year, which I think people believe with Danny, they're probably going to have to give someone a pretty long deal to come on board. You know, I don't think you're going to attract a very high-level candidate with a five-year deal, just because you probably know, you know, a year or two of that could be rough going just based on what we know of the transfer portal and all the guys leaving and again, possible NCAA violations coming down the pike. So I think for them, it's still an opportunity to rebuild the program in your life. I think you're knowing that with Danny White, he's going to give you the support that you need to do it the right way. I think probably clearing out some of the people who have interfered in the past is something that they can be sold. And I think people, I mean, it's still a brand name program. I think people still have respect for Tennessee, even though, you know, that championship feels further and further in the rearview mirror. I still think you can sell it as a brand to someone. And you know that if you are able to have success, you're going to be very highly regarded, not only in Tennessee, but around the country for being able to finally fix what has plagued, you know, numerous coaches in the last, you know, five or so coaching hires for Tennessee. So I think there is a lot to sell. It's just all about how you package it. And you're going to have to calm concerns about possible NCAA violations for anybody who's potentially interested in that job.
Well, speaking of coming to Tennessee, a guy that you covered at Auburn was Big Cat Bryant, and he was coming to Tennessee, and then, boy, life comes at you fast, really fast in his case. Have you seen him, like, driving around the interstates of Alabama or something, just trying to figure out which direction to point his car in?
I think Big Cat's gone under the radar. But, yeah, I mean, the expectation was that, that he was going to end up in Tennessee. Obviously, he publicly announced it. And, again, you know, he has a close relationship with Rodney Gardner and, you know, his position coach at Auburn. And from what I'd heard was that, you know, that might have been played a role in him wanting to go to Tennessee because he expected Gardner to be the defensive line coach at Tennessee. And so, you know, whether that does that mean Garner's not going to be the guy anymore? Obviously, there's a lot that's changing pretty much hourly in Knoxville right now. And so I don't think it's, you know, nothing that I've heard indicates Big Cat definitely won't go to Tennessee anymore, but he might just be waiting to see, all right, who's going to be the next head coach? Is Kevin Steele still going to be there? And other possible, you know, personnel changes that could occur, you know, in the next couple weeks.
All right, I wanted to hit you with this one more just on the way out. John Talty, our guest. How do you think Urban Meyer's going to do in Jacksonville? You've covered college football. You know him like we all do as a college football guy. He's going to stick his toe in the very hot water of the NFL. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly probably the question people are most interested in with the NFL right now, right? And so, you know, we've seen some guys have success in the transition to NFL. We've seen some very famous ones that have it. You know, I'll just relate it back to, I think, Nick Saban and that, you know, Saban, we were just saying, is the greatest coach of all time. And I don't think he was an outright failure in the NFL, but certainly wasn't as successful as, you know, people maybe expected or compared to what he's done in the college game. And I think there's a lot of similarities between Urban and Nick in one particular area, and that is both guys are just absolute relentless recruiters. I think both of them, especially when they're both in the SEC, pushed, you know, the limits as much as possible. They basically had to change rules to prevent them from doing certain things just because they were willing to put in the hours and travel more than other head coaches, I think, wanted to. And so Meyer's losing, I think, one of his biggest advantages in that he is just an incredible recruiter. The positive is that, you know, he's getting the number one pick. He's probably about to get Trevor Lawrence, and it seems like they're well set up in terms of cap room and other draft picks down the line to try to bring in some high-level talent. But I think that is one of the biggest challenges transitioning from college, in which you get to pick the top players in many ways, especially when you have a program rolling like Ohio State or Florida the way he did. And now you're going to a situation where, you know, no offense to anybody from Jacksonville listening to the show, but I mean, Jacksonville is not the sexiest place to sell, not the way that Florida or Ohio State was in college. And so he's going to deal with challenges he's never had to deal with. And I'm really fascinated whether he can overcome some of the natural limitations that come with coaching the Jaguars.
John, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate you jumping on with us today. AL.com, always tons of great stuff there. And always enjoy reading your everything that you put out, man. Always great stuff.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate you.
Thanks,
yes, sir. John Talty, AL.com. He had written an article about Kevin Steele, basically asking the question, is he a bystander or an opportunist? As he had this may never happen again. He was the head coach of two SEC programs in 19 days. Over the span of 19 days.
Oh, no, no, no. We got to say it in layman's terms. That's called snake. That and what that thing. Opportunity. Oh, I love that. Oh, man, using those big words.
That's the words of John Talty, who joined us. Couple of things coming out of UT. One about the search firm. Another amazing quote from Randy Boyd that's either going to fire you up or you're going to say, I don't know, Randy. We got that for you coming up. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone, our final segment of the day. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Some great guests today. Ben McKee joined us to talk about the latest from Knoxville. Dan Walken joined us. He broke the news about the new University of Tennessee athletic director. Had the story for USA Today that Danny White from Central Florida would be taking the job.
Dan Walken. Tennessee's favorite reporter from USA Today.
Boy, some people tweeted some ugly things at me, Blaine, when we had that guy on. Here's the thing. He broke the story. Yeah, he knew how it happened. So yeah. He breaks the story. We're going to go to the guy who breaks the story. It just happened to be him. But I know a lot of you don't like him. But when he breaks the story, we put him on. The other guy was John Talty, who joined us from AL.com. Just basically talking about Kevin Steele and his opportunities. And I wanted to make sure that we ask him this about the possibility of, you know, Gus Malzahn and Kevin Steele being together, if that was a possibility. It sure didn't seem like that was anything that John Talty, who's been on that beat, sure didn't sound like anything he thought would happen.
No, I don't think that exists. And then with the hire of the AD, which we didn't know when we asked him to come on at the time yesterday, I see a coach being hired now.
Yep.
And this guy's blue collar. He'll find somebody behind some weeds that's a really good coach. And they'd be like, wow, that's not going to be maybe not be a splash hire. Yeah. But he'll be the right hire and a guy he's comfortable with. So, I'm interested to see what happens with the rest of the staff. And, you know, does the coach come in who actually gets hired feel comfortable with some of their coaches, because then they have to go through the interview process. Because I saw where T. Martin had a new 2-year deal, but he hadn't signed it yet with a little bit of a raise until they hired the new AD and probably the head coach. He didn't say that part there, but I think that got that from Jimmy Hines.
Isn't it crazy, the talk about still hiring people and extending people, and they don't have a football coach? You know, what was the Bill Parcells thing? You know, if I'm not going to cook the meal, if the dinner, if I can't shop for the groceries, I mean, that might be a tough sell to some guys. Like, wait a second, how many people do you currently have paid on your staff? How many people are currently under contract? Well, this guy and this guy and this guy. Well, I always bring this guy with me, and this guy's always my, you know, this guy. That's going to be an interesting sell. So if I'm Danny White, I'm like, hey, man, no more contracts. Just don't offer anybody else anything until we find a head coach. Then we can figure it all out from there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fun times, though. At least they got the AD out of the way. I think they're quality coaches all over the place. So,
yeah.
They'll have their list of options. So, good. Congratulations to the Ball Nation and to Danny White and, well, and Boyd to get it done.
100%. If I'm a Vols fan, I'm excited. I'm excited. They didn't settle for some guy. They didn't get a guy who had any ties to the school. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I'm saying a lot of people thought, well, they're just going to go find somebody, the best of all the dudes who used to work at UT. They didn't. They went out and found the guy who they thought was just the best guy, period, in Danny White. And they did it in 3 days. And I told you I had a couple of tweets I wanted to hit. This is one from Teresa Walker. She said, Tennessee signed Parker executive search last Saturday for $120,000 to help the search for a new AD. So, yeah, that was quick. Well, they didn't tell the public that Philip Fulmer was leaving until Monday. So, and then, you know, there's a little bit of Q&A because you can respond to people on Twitter. So somebody responded to Teresa and said, signed, but not first contacted, correct? She said, yep, the contract only shows the signing date is January 16th. Tennessee had been in touch with Parker executive search before then. Obviously, good point. This tells you, Dondi and Randy and the people who are controlling the show up there now, we had Ben McKee on earlier, who's Swain DeVent, Rocky Top Insider, and I basically asked him about how this happened. He said, leadership. It happened because of leadership, because you've got leaders being decisive. Well, this tells you, man, when they called them, they probably said, here's the names we want you to call, because we need to know. But this tells you by the time they made the move, they had a really good idea of who was going. I think it did. I think this tells you by the time they made the move that they had a real good idea who was about to be running things up there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, Wes Rucker, 247, tweeted, UT president Randy Boyd on the hire of athletics director Danny White from UCF. The greatest decade in UT athletics begins now. That's kind of a bold statement. We'll see if that happens. But we must not forget, you know, in the 90s in the national championship and women's hoops, they had some pretty good decades there. So that shows how excited, though, Boyd is about the hire. And that, man, this is not just, oh, we threw some cash and we got, you know, the best available. They got their guy.
The other thing it tells me is this. You know, if you and me came on every day and did a radio show, and we weren't having any fun and we weren't excited to do it, why should anybody else be excited about it? If I'm Randy Boyd, hey, man, transfer portal. We hadn't even gotten to that today because I know if you follow Tennessee, you know who left, Henry T and Eric Gray and Crouch and Jameer Johnson. We get it. You know that. It's a tough day for a lot of people. It's been several tough days. Hell, it's been a tough decade for a lot of people. Let's just be honest. So for Randy Boyd, if anybody's going to fire up the troops, he's the chancellor. So that's a bold statement. Like you said, the 90s are on the phone. I think Teresa Walker had even responded to that tweet from Wes and was like, hey, the 90s are going to be keeping a close eye on this statement. But if Randy Boyd's not going to sell excitement, who's going to do it? You know, I mean, I don't know how bold you want to be in your statements, but I do like the guy at the top saying, we're ready to go now. Let's go. It's going to be a great decade. Here we go, man.
Yeah, he's pumped up, and he better be because they went out on a limb and went outside the UT network. So now let the fun begin. Now, what happens here? A new coach, some more coaches let go, some not resigned, keep them all on board. What happens here? Woo, that's exciting. Yeah.
There's, you know, and all that costs money. Hiring
money's not an object here.
Hey,
not my money, Mickey.
I told you. I went last night and I tried to find what the quote was, how much they were in the hole, because every school has given a different number. You know, and for Power Five schools, it's been tens of millions of dollars. And for Tennessee, it was a $40 million loss in revenue because of COVID pandemic. And for NFL teams, the TV money is the thing that matters. And it matters for college teams. But here's the thing. A team like Tennessee, when you put over 100,000 people in your stadium and people are paying to park and paying for beer, and it's like, what, $12 a beer? And smoky dogs, soda pop, hot dogs, and they're buying the tickets to go sit in the seats, and you couldn't do that for a pandemic. all that stuff really, really, really hurts college teams. So this guy, Danny White, he's got to sort through all this football stuff. He's got to start trying to figure out how to pay for it all. So if you're a booster for UT, you probably go get a phone call pretty soon saying, hey, how'd you like to increase that donation, amigo?
Yeah, no doubt. And they got somebody who's, you know, understands a little bit of the SEC, being with the Ole Miss background.
Yep.
So family tradition, really, in that his brother's the head coach of the basketball at Florida, and his dad was a former AD. Some really
family business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
family business. How about this tomorrow? Butch Jones set to join us.
Butch Jones!
Arkansas State head football coach. Butch Jones will join us on the show tomorrow at 12:15. Go ahead and make an appointment. And our surly young millennial friend, Buck Rising, at 2:15. We got to start talking a lot of Titans offseason topics with him. Maybe he can find an OC in D.C. It's all coming up tomorrow, but 3HL's next. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great night, everybody.
Peace. Thanks for listening.